I graduated from anger management the same way I graduated from Cornell. On time. Now I'm back. Got a second chance, and I'm not going to blow it. So look out, Dunder Mifflin! I mean, look out in a fun way, you know, not like I'm going to hurt you.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly. NYG Weekly, Ethan Weiss here with you once again. Before we get into everything, you know what we got to do. We got to take care of the housekeeping. So, first things first, you can follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at EthanGSN, follow Weiss at NYG Daily, follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe. 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. All right. Weiss, we're back. New podcast, new week, new head coach. Joe Judge. You want to get rise. There you go, get that out of the way, because you Yankees fans are going to make me hate this guy before he even coaches a game for the New York Giants. Interesting hire. I'll give my high-level thoughts on Joe Judge before I throw it over to you. High-level, it's hard to get excited about. Obviously, he was not one of the sexy names that was being discussed in the head coaching search. He's not Matt Rhule. He's not the other Patriots coordinator, Josh McDaniels. He's not Eric Bieniemy. And I do want to talk about the Rooney Rhule and Eric Bieniemy later, because we are a New York Giants and also a social justice podcast, as many people know. We are the official Colin Kaepernick New York Giants podcast. We were talking about that like years ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he wasn't one of the sexy hires. And I'll one thing that I want to talk about is sort of the juxtaposition between, you know, not everything being the same due to previous occurrences. I don't know what if there is even an official term for that, but a lot of people point to the fact that because Joe Judge is a special teams assistant, special teams coordinator, he will have the success of other notable special teams coordinators and assistants who went on to be successful head coaches. Harbaugh, Belichick, you know, that is not necessarily true. Joe Judge may turn out to be an absolute bust. He may follow in those footsteps and become a successful head coach coming from a special teams background. Then there's the other side of it, where people like to argue that because he is a Belichick disciple, no other Belichick disciple has had success as a head coach, therefore Joe Judge also will not have success as a head coach. Also not true. All situations are different. All rosters are different. And hell, even this past year, we saw Flores down in Miami have a pretty decent season for a team that was purposefully tanking, trading away assets, and was very obviously in the middle of a rebuild. So, you know, doesn't have to be true on either side of things. That being said, there's a lot to like. Obviously, talked up very, very highly by Bill Belichick. Belichick spoke to the Giants about Joe Judge, highly recommended him. A lot of people think that Joe Judge was being groomed to be Belichick's successor eventually. Who knows if that's actually the case, but he's very well respected. Being a special teams coach obviously has its advantages because you have experience with players on the offensive side of the ball as well as the defensive side of the ball. So aspects from both sort of coming together there. And, you know, it's an outside-the-box hire. You know, it wasn't the sports science analytics innovative Matt Rhule that we were all expecting, but certainly going with someone who's 38, a year younger than Eli Manning, is definitely different for John Mara. And that's something that we have to give him a little bit of credit for. And the fact that apparently they are letting him pick his staff, which again, the fact that his staff will hopefully, and I'm knocking on wood right now, not have Dave Gettleman and John Mara's fingerprints on, it's somewhat refreshing. For that, I will give them credit. Now, on the other end of things, allegedly, Matt Rhule met with the Panthers down in Waco. Panthers flew to him, which I don't know why John Mara couldn't be bothered to gas up the jet and go down there. Met with him. They met for a long time. The thing that worried me the most was that they met yesterday, and we didn't hear a peep about it all night. There was no Rappaport, Schefter tweet, anyone from NFL Network, ESPN saying, the meeting's done, it went well, nothing's in place yet. immediately, right away, that had me nervous. And knowing Dave Tepper, the new owner of the Carolina Panthers, his background as a self-made billionaire, competitive guy, analytically driven, you sort of knew that them getting to Matt Rhule first, they were going to hit it off, and you had to be nervous about that immediately. John Mara receiving that phone call from Matt Rhule, and Matt Rhule saying, hey, this was my offer from the Panthers. If you're willing to match it, I will fly up and meet you. And John Mara basically said, no thanks. We're going to go with Joe Judge. That bothers me a little bit. Joe Judge is not someone that was at risk of immediately taking another job elsewhere. I think they could have waited a little bit and, you know, met with Matt Rhule today. Even if they weren't willing to meet the money and the contract term demands, they had nothing to lose by at least saying, yeah, sure, come up, and if we like what we hear, then we'd be willing to match that. And then, I mean, hey, they could have just copped out and said, you know what, we didn't like what we heard, sorry, we're going to go with Joe Judge. So to me, that's confusing. That's a little bothersome. I don't know about you, but Matt Rhule was my number one candidate to get hired for the Giants. So the fact that they didn't even meet with him, it's disappointing to say the least. Those are my high level thoughts on it and the process in general. I'll throw it over to you.
Yeah, I mean it's been a crazy 24 to 36 hours really. I mean, last night we all, you know, went to sleep hoping that we would wake up hearing that, you know, that the meeting is on and Matt Rhule is in New York meeting with the Giants, but clearly that didn't happen. We'll get into the way the coaching search happened, but in regards to Joe Judge, I think, you know, it's a candidate that immediately, you know, 50 to 75% of the fan base had to do a Google search. You know, I mean, they knew he was a Patriots assistant coach, but that's pretty much it. He's an out-of-the-box candidate. He's a huge risk, but he's also a high reward, in my opinion, given where he's come from, given where he's coached, who he's coached under. This is a guy like who the Giants are essentially looking for. They're looking for a leader. They're looking for a guy that can command the room. They're looking for someone that can come in and bring that championship culture to the Giants locker room. And I think that he checks off a lot of the boxes. He's also only 38 years old. I believe he's the second youngest coach, or when he does become the head coach officially, he'll be the second youngest coach in the NFL behind only Sean McVay. There's stuff written about how important it is to him to relate to players. And I think that's big anytime you're having a head coach come in. So he's definitely a candidate that a lot of us didn't think much of when this process started. But clearly, whatever he said in the interview room in front of John Mara, in front of Steve Tisch and Dave Gettleman and Kevin Abrams as well, whatever he said to those guys, I mean, it clearly sold him, because we saw him jump up that ladder really, really fast. And,
yep.
You know, it's
and again, we heard that apparently that John Mara was blown away by Joe Judge's interview. I mean, yeah. I don't know if that's exactly saying too much. I could show John Mara how to do a pivot table in Excel and he would be blown away. So, again, I'm taking everything here with a grain of salt. It's not tough to impress these guys.
Well, I'll say this. I don't think when the Giants started this interview process that their mindset was, hey, we don't care if the head coach has previous coaching experience being head coach. I think they didn't want to hire a first-time head coach. And for Joe Judge to be a first-time head coach and to get the job, I mean, it's pretty telling. I mean, I'm not saying what you're saying is wrong. I just think that, you know, like I said, it's a first-time head coach getting a job like this. He must have really blown them away. Now, again, he definitely has a high ceiling here. You know, we don't know what he's going to do. This is not a situation where we know he has past head coaching experience where we can say, well, he only did this there, and sort of label that as the ceiling, like a lot of people did with McCarthy and Ron Rivera.
Right. And the fact that he's also 38, we have no idea what these, and not only is he 38, but outside of Mississippi State and the Patriots, his football connections could be fairly limited. So it's going to be interesting to see who he decides to bring in for his staff.
Right, so we'll see. I think you're getting right to my next point. Is that the most important thing for Joe Judge going forward now is who is his coaching staff going to be?
Agree.
Now, people said Jason Garrett, potential offensive coordinator. That apparently is not the case.
Thank God. Because, by the way, you know, based on who they decide to hire, whether or not John Mara or Dave Gettleman has their fingerprints on this. Right. You just know. So and Jason Garrett would have been the prime tell of that.
Right. I think if Jason Garrett would have got the job, I mean, I don't want to say that the fingerprints are John Mara and Dave Gettleman's fingerprints are on that, but it is pretty telling. I mean, there's no prior connection between Joe Judge and Jason Garrett, but you know, you have to play the wait and see game with this guy. I mean, you got to give him an opportunity to come
100%.
In, install his foundation, install his culture. You got to see how the players respond to him. And he's a guy that, you know, when I read up on him, he's a guy that likes to, you know, he's a very attentive. He really pays attention. He's very detail-oriented. And I think that that's going to be important.
It's not something the Giants had under McAdoo or Shermer.
Yeah, definitely didn't have it under McAdoo and definitely didn't have it under Pat Shermer. So having it under here, we're going to see, obviously, with the first-year head coach, you're going to have growing pains. I think it's people got to brace for that. But getting the head coach was an important thing, but the Giants have to add talent onto their roster, specifically on the defensive side of the ball. They got to develop some of the young guys, and we're going to see if Joe Judge can put a staff together that can go out there and develop, because they have a lot of young players on their roster that they're going to, that the Giants invested some high draft capital in, that are going to need to get better if the Giants are going to be a potential playoff team in the coming years. So it's very important that, you know, this is why I say people are all paying attention to the offensive coordinator. And yes, that is important. And Daniel Jones' development is important. It's probably the number one thing. But they also need to get a really good defensive coordinator in here that can develop some of these young players, that can develop O'Shane Ximenez, that can develop Lorenzo Carter, B.J. Hill, you know, obviously continue the development of Dexter Lawrence in the secondary. I mean, it's a whole bunch of young guys in that secondary that need to be developed, that the Giants invested draft picks in. So, you know, it's very important how Joe Judge's coaching staff comes about, because, you know, they got to develop these young players. So we'll see. I'm taking a wait-and-see approach. I put this out there. I'm looking at Joe Judge at a different lens than I'm looking at the Giants organization, the Giants brash
office.
You know, this is not a case where this coach, you know, shouldn't outlast Dave Gettleman. I think if the Giants don't show progress after 1 year, I don't think we should point the finger at Joe Judge. I think we should point the finger at, you know, the front office and the way the Giants are handling that. So it's a wait-and-see approach. Obviously, there's stuff to like. There's stuff to not like. You talked about the pros and the cons. The big thing for me is how is this going to affect the power structure? Because while, yes, he didn't have any head coaching opportunities at the NFL level, Mississippi State offered him the job, and there was talks of him going back to his alma mater, Mississippi State, where he would essentially have, you know, he would be the head honcho there, and he would be the guy. And that's not no nonsense school. That's a prestigious SEC school, big time conference. So it was not some low level job. It is a good job. And for him to turn that down for the Giants, could that be because he has some say in where he's coming from? Obviously, Bill Belichick was the head honcho in New England, and he's a guy that worked very closely with Belichick. So, you know, we'll see how the power structure is set up there. And I think the most telling thing will be how the coaching staff is set up. From there, we'll be able to get hints whether or not, hey, this is Joe Judge's, you know, has a pretty good seat at the desk or at the table, and you know, we'll find that out. But you know, it's a wait and see approach with me. I'm not one way or the other. It's a stunning thing. I was shocked, really. I mean, I think everyone was shocked. But now he's here, or we think he's going to be here. I mean, we know in New England, these coaches, you never know,
right?
So until it's officially announced, I'll say this. So wait and see, and the hope is that we get him signed and we get this deal worked out and we can move forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think like you look back to the Shermer Gettleman era, and right. For me, I was very quick to hate Dave Gettleman. I still hate Dave Gettleman. I think he's an idiot. Yeah. I think he has basically poorly mismanaged this team so poorly that we are in the state of things because of him, right?
Right.
Now, Pat Shermer did not receive the same treatment. I actually liked the Pat Shermer hiring. Shame on me. And over time, Pat Shermer did things. You know, you run on 2nd and 10 enough times, you're going to lose my complete faith and complete trust. Actually, fun fact, there was a chart that one of the analytics guys on Twitter tweeted out today that the Patriots are one of the teams that run on 2nd and 10 or longer the fewest. So who knows? Maybe Joe Judge brings that knowledge over from the Patriots that the Giants apparently don't possess because their computer folks haven't set it up yet. But, you know, for me, it's refreshing because I will be judging, no pun intended, judging Joe Judge in a separate vacuum from Dave Gettleman. I think yes. We have been following this team long enough that we know the telltale signs of when Dave Gettleman is meddling or doing something, when John Mara is meddling or doing something. And I'm curious because part of the thing for me is with Joe Judge only being 38 years old, my big fear is that John Mara is hiring this guy. And because he's hiring a guy with no previous NFL head coaching experience, I'm curious what Joe Judge's demands were in the interview when it came to personnel control. Because, again, we heard from media insiders, from the Giants themselves, that if a head coach candidate came in there and said that they needed to redo the power structure so that they had more control over personnel, more control over who they were working with in the building, that the Giants would reluctantly give them that power. I'm curious if Joe Judge did any of that during his interview and basically outlined any sort of control that he would need. Again, my fear is because he's so young and inexperienced that it's going to be status quo with Gettleman not understanding trade value, not understanding draft position, yada, yada, yada. We've spent the last year and a half, 2 years talking about this, but that is my big fear when it comes to Joe Judge. Another thing, I think I tweeted about this, because Josh McDaniels had his unsuccessful head coaching stint in Denver and is now still being, I guess, widely considered for a number of head coaching opportunities, I'm wondering if that nudged Joe Judge a little bit to sort of go out there and take that risk and take the head coaching job at such a young age, just because he knows that, well, you know what? There are going to be other opportunities if I prove myself as a coordinator again down the line. I think it's sort of helpful to have that McDaniels presence in the building with him when he makes these types of decisions.
Yeah, and I'll share something interesting with you sort of in regards to McDaniels is, you know, once the Joe Judge hire was made, I reached out to somebody that covers for the Patriots, and I don't want to put his name to it because he wasn't, you know, he didn't really want it to be out there that it came from him. But he told me that this year, you know, that Belichick had Joe Judge working very closely with Josh McDaniels.
There you go.
On learning the offense. So what that tells me is Belichick, you know, always one step ahead, bracing for the fact that McDaniels could leave, you know.
Right, and it was reported that he would have been considered for the offensive coordinator position had McDaniels right. departed.
Right, so I guess it is out there. So it is
along with the fact that he was the wide receivers coach this past year.
Right,
you can take this. I already know what you're going to say.
I mean, it's ridiculous that people
very
are
ridiculous.
Looking at Joe Judge is the reason why the receiving coach was so bad. First of all, they had so much turnover at the wide receiver position this
ridiculous.
Year.
Ridiculous.
I mean, they had. Well, regardless,
dude, they started with Antonio Brown and Josh Gordon and ended with an injured Julian Edelman, Mohamed Sanu, and N'Keal Harry, who only played like four games.
Yeah, so you look at it and it's like
lunacy.
The wide receiver coach got into the room. He had Antonio Brown, Oh, yeah, yeah, Josh Gordon. They started camp with Josh Gordon and Julian Edelman, who, by the way, was injured. Then they bring in Antonio Brown towards the end of this, right before week one or something like that, right before Antonio Brown came in. Brown's there for a week, and he's gone. Then by the middle of the season, Edelman's banged up, and, oh, here you go, here's Mohamed Sanu. Then N'Keal Harry comes back, and there's a slow transition of getting him into the acclimated into the offense. So there was so much turnover. Like, teams have that type of turnover in the offseason.
Right.
The Patriots had three times that during the season. They turned over their receiving core, receiver one and receiver two, three times in the same season. It was A.B. and Edelman and Gordon. Then it was Edelman and Gordon. Then it was, you know, Edelman injured and, you know, Sanu and Harry. So that receiving core was decimated all season. And on top of that, it was his first year. So,
right.
Like, it's almost like people are just, you know, grasping at straws, looking for anything to downplay it. I think, look.
But again, people were doing that with Matt Rhule, too, that he never beaten anyone in college, even though he turned Baylor's program around. People will look for reasons.
Yeah, here's what I'll say. I don't blame Giant fans for being angry about this or not trusting.
Me neither.
I totally get it. I understand it. Hey, look, I don't trust John Mara in this whole thing. There were talks, and we'll get into the coaching search, and I'll wait till then, but I don't blame fans. I mean, this is the third head coach in 6 years. Like, I totally get, like, listen, John Mara hired Ben McAdoo, fired him in a year and a half, then hired Pat Shurmur and fired him 2 years later. And he probably could have fired him in a year and a half, too, because...
It reminds me of... So one of my favorite movies is Wolf of Wall Street. And one of...
I love
Wolf of Wall Street. One of DiCaprio's best lines is when he is in the investor center and he's trying to sell this person on aerotine technology. And he talks about, I never ask my clients to judge me on my winners. I ask them to judge me on my losers because I have so few. The opposite is the case with John Mara.
Yes. Yes.
I do not blame fans for being completely skeptical about the hiring of a 38-year-old special teams coordinator from New England.
Yeah, not at all. But you're asking me, I see a lot of people asking this, what's my take? My take is I'm taking the wait-and-see approach.
That's the right approach.
And I'm not looking at Joe Judge in the same lens that I'm looking at Dave Gettleman.
Correct.
We'll see what happens. You know, if this works, it works. Great. Good for John Mara. But if it doesn't work, then, I mean, listen, John Mara would be entering, and I'm not.
The darkest age.
He's entering, to me, Jimmy Haslam, Dan Snyder type territory where there will be a strong resentment from him by the fan base.
Yes.
I think there will be empty seats start, you know, we start seeing empty seats like in October. Like, I think we'll see it from the start.
Right.
Like, if this one doesn't work out, like, people don't understand, like, this has to be the guy.
Has to be.
Like, it has to be the guy. You can if the Giants have a bad year and he fires Dave Gettleman, that's fine, right? Like, people will be like, okay, that's fine. We get it. Okay, you did it. You finally fired your GM. But if you fire another head coach, especially if you fire him in 2 years or a year and a half or whatever, I just don't see how this Giant fan base will trust John Mara. When there's no trust, I don't think people will buy tickets. You know, and I tell people that we hear people joke about this in D.C. when there was talk of possibly Bruce Allen coming back, was that, you know, there's a lot of stuff to do in D.C. on Sundays besides going to a Redskins game. Well, in New York, there's a lot of stuff to do in New York besides going to a Giant game.
More.
There's a lot more stuff you can get your, you know, you can get your mind on instead of spending money to go watch the Giants play. So this is it's a huge risk with potential high reward. I would love to sit here in 3 years and 4 years and say, man, look, while everyone was trying to find the next Sean McVay, John Mara found the next John Harbaugh.
Yep.
I would love to say that. But
absolutely,
it's tough to say given the recent hires by this owner. But we'll see. We'll see.
All right. What next?
The coaching search.
Okay.
It was a crazy coaching search.
Yes.
It was insane. And the best part about it is, like, I've been through enough of these where I can smell BS.
Right.
Like, I know the games the Giants play. Like, they're very bad at PR, but they're damn good at spinning something.
Yep.
Because their reputation. Because people still believe in that Giants prestigious reputation.
Right. The Giants way.
I don't know if Matt Rhule called the Giants and said, hey, this is what I got from David Tepper. Are you guys going to, you know, you want to match it? Maybe it could be the case where, you know, Matt Rhule got what he wanted from Carolina and didn't even bother with the Giants because he valued Carolina more. Maybe he did call. I don't know. I'm here to say I don't know.
But the report is that he called.
The report is that he called, right? But there was also a report immediately when he took the job that they were stunned. Like, so where did that news come from that Matt Rhule called the Giants? It obviously leaked from the Giants. Now, what are they trying to do? Are they trying to say, we weren't going to pay Matt Rhule that kind of money. You know, we were not going to give him the 7-year deal. We're the Giants. He's got to sell himself to us. Maybe they were spinning it like that. Maybe Matt Rhule did call. I don't know. But I'm not going to sit here and believe that report because I know the Giants. You know, I know what they like to do. I know I've seen them spin stuff 100 different ways. So I see a lot of people say, well, how can you want to? First of all, a coach's contract, I don't give a damn.
Thank you. People are talking about like, oh, it's too much money. First of all, it's not your fucking money. It's your billionaire owner's fucking money. So you shouldn't give a shit how they spend it, especially if it can go help the team. And two, it doesn't count against the salary cap. So quit whining. The only thing that you should have an issue with as a fan is term. And if 7 years is too long for you, someone tweeted this at me, and I have no idea if it's true. So someone looked this up for me. The Giants' last three coaches currently are counting for more AAV for the Giants than Matt Rhule is in year one for the Panthers.
It might be true because they do have Ben McAdoo and Pat. They give Pat Shermer a 5-year deal.
So I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. And you should be giving that coach at least 3 years, assuming he is the right hire to get shit done. If he is a complete disaster after 3 years, then maybe you cut bait and you're paying him for a few more years. Not a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's insane to me. Like, well, you got to pay for his buyout. Well, if you're spending days or if you're spending time thinking about how a billionaire is going to pay for a coach's salary, you got to find something better to do with your time.
Yeah.
I mean, the weather has been – I know it's snowing here in D.C., but the last couple of days have been nice. I mean, you got to go for a walk or something. You're worrying about a billionaire and how he's going to pay. Like, I get it. If there's a salary cap and there was a salary cap for coaches and you don't – you know, you got – we got to get a defensive coordinator. We can't settle. Like, I would understand it. But – it has no impact.
Yep.
It has no impact on you. It has no impact on the team salary cap. If the if Matt Rhule is making $20 million a year, I'd say good for you, Matt Rhule. I don't care. It has no impact. And to see fans have this issue with it, like it's, oh my God, how can you pay? Hey, it's not your business. You know, like it has no impact on you or your team success. If Matt Rhule were to get hired, 7-year deal, 10-year deal, whatever, and he flops up for 2 years, John Mara is going to come to you and ask you for money and say, hey, I need fans to pay for it. No. Like, this is – relax. I just – it's crazy. But, yeah, my point is that I don't know what to believe with this. Throughout the entire last 2 weeks, it's been Matt Rhule, that's the guy, that's the top target, this is what we're going to sell him. And they don't even get an interview with him?
I mean, the fact that he was linked as being the Giants' like number one target for as long as he was, I mean, that doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't.
No.
Like, that is – someone's got the inside scoop, and now they're doing damage control.
Right. And it could be like the Giants could be saying, well, we got to cover this up. And this is, you know, we've been touting this guy as our favorite. We've been leaking that how much we're willing to change our structure. And he didn't even get on the plane to come see us.
Right.
You know, like it's a bad look. It's bad optics. And then also Mike McCarthy, like their top two candidates were Matt Rhule and Mike McCarthy. Mm-hmm. McCarthy took the Dallas job.
Yep.
And you know what? Actually, their top three candidates. I think if Ron and Rivera had not taken the job, like he would have been a top target for the Giants, right? And even Rivera didn't wait. Like he took the Redskins job. It's pretty telling about the state of the Giants to me when you can't. And this is not the first time. Remember, the last coaching search, their guy was Matt Patricia, mm-hmm. or he was like one of the lead guys,
right?
And they had to settle for Pat Shurmur. Now, Patricia's not doing too well. Pat Shurmur's clearly fired. Josh McDaniels, we saw what happened with him in Indianapolis. The most telling thing for me with the Giants coaching search, and this is where I'm a little bit troubled, is when you look at their last two searches, look at who they interviewed, but more importantly, look at who they didn't interview.
Yeah.
Kyle Shanahan got a job in 2017, so did Sean McVay. But that doesn't mean those guys weren't available in 2016 when Tom Coughlin left. Like, they could have still interviewed those guys. Mm-hmm. They didn't.
Right.
They didn't interview Doug Peterson. They didn't interview Frank Wright. You know, guys that are actually good coaches now, the Giants didn't interview them. So that's pretty telling when you look at that. Like, there hasn't been a lot of good head coaching hires because we've seen a lot of them flop. But if you look at, like I said, look at who the Giants did not interview. I mean, they basically didn't interview any of the quality head coaches that are in the league right now that were hired in the last 3 years. No McVay, no Peterson, no Frank Wright. I mean, that's telling to me. As a fan, you got to be worried about that. Now, I know people will spin it and say, well, Ben McAdoo was taking the job, and the only reason Frank Wright got it because Josh McDaniels. But that's I'm not here. Like, I don't need you guys to explain to me how those guys got coaching jobs. The fact is the Giants didn't interview those guys. They didn't think those guys were worthy of an interview. And you've seen the results those guys have produced where they've gone. Doug Peterson, Super Bowl winning coach. Frank Wright obviously took his team to the playoffs. A lot of turmoil with Andrew Luck retiring. You see how they handled it. Sean McVay, I mean, come on. Everybody knows him. Kyle Shanahan, look what he's doing right now. So it's telling, man. Like, it's troubling right now when you – like, I recommend – like, I did this. Like, I recommend all Giant fans go look at the last two coaching searches. Look at who was interviewed and look at who was not interviewed. And you got to be worried. You got to be worried. It's very telling. It's very troubling. As a fan, I'm like, oh my God, are you kidding me? So we'll see. Hopefully this is the last one. It better be the last one for John Mara's sake, but we'll see. But I with this whole Matt Rhule thing, I mean, I don't know who to believe. I mean, yeah. I certainly am not 100% sold on the whole Matt Rhule call John Mara and said, hey, this is my offer. Are you willing to? I'm not buying that. Not saying it's not true. I'm just saying I'm not believing either side right. in this case.
No, that's fair. Yeah. Who are you looking in terms of coordinators? Obviously, Joe Judge is going to be the one who's doing the interviews and bringing people in.
Right. Hopefully.
But I have a name that a lot of people, I feel like, aren't throwing around, and you might have some insight into this one. I'm looking at another former NFC East head coach. I'm looking at Jay Gruden.
Yes, me too. That's my guy.
I know that's your guy. I think he'd be a great fit. I think you know, it's pretty well accepted at this point that he wanted Daniel Jones over Dwayne Haskins in Washington. This would give him the opportunity to pair up with Dan Jones. He's obviously got the head coaching experience that Joe Judge does not, so he could be useful on the staff. And on top of that, he runs a West Coast style offense. Quick hitting. I think it would be very, very useful for the Giants with the state their offensive line is currently in. Get the ball out of Dan Jones' hands quickly. Get the ball in space to Saquon. and you know, doesn't really fit what Golden Tate's doing. But again, we all know how I feel about Golden Tate. I think Jay Gruden would be an excellent choice for offensive coordinator if that's the direction the Giants decided to go.
Yeah, I think Jay Gruden, he was a good offensive coordinator.
Yep.
With the Bengals, he did a lot of work with Andy Dalton. I think, you know, don't know much about him, but I think a guy that will get a lot of buzz because of the ties to Joe Judge is Chad O'Shea, who was the Miami Dolphins offensive coordinator, let go. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people were really surprised that he was let go, given the talent and given the work he did with Ryan Fitzpatrick. You know, he, you know, obviously that team was just decimated offensively. And then also the work he did with Devontae Parker, development.
Now, I mean, yes, and I'll give him credit for the great stuff he did in Miami.
He was a wide receiver coach.
Yes.
He was a wide receiver coach, too.
But are we sure that, you know, a lot of it is not just the stench of Adam Gase finally being washed away?
It could be. It could be. I mean, we see Ryan Tannehill without Adam Gase. I don't know. But I think that's a guy I would definitely link to Joe Judge. Now, I personally think you want to get a guy that has experience with developing quarterbacks, has called plays before. It's not a prerequisite for me that the guy has to be a former head coach, but I do think you want somebody that has a background with working with quarterbacks, a play caller, innovative offense. I think that's what the Giants are looking for, or Joe Judge should be looking for. Defensively, to me, it's about player development. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't care about 3-4 or 4-3. I mean, in today's football, everybody plays everything.
Right.
You see 3-4, you see 4-3. I mean, it's. I don't care about that. What I care about is player development. What I want to see is, can they get a guy in here that can develop some of these young players? It's a lot of young players on the defense. I talked about it earlier. Can they get somebody in here that can do that? Obviously, the big name, Wade Phillips, Chris Richard.
No thanks on both, I think.
That's no thanks opinion. On both. I like Chris Richard. I think that he will bring an energy to the locker room. He's definitely – and he comes from that – you know, he did coach defensive backs in Seattle. And,
but again,
you know,
like, look at the talent that he had in Seattle.
He did. Like, yeah, he had talent,
incomparable
too.
To what the Giants
But you know what I like to do is when I'm looking at these candidates, I look at what the players say about them. Mm-hmm. Like, and if Rashard's name comes up, like, Richard Sherman speaks highly about him. You know, Cam Chancellor speaks highly about him. You know, so Pete Carroll is a head coach, but he speaks highly about him. So those type of things to me, like when I sit here and I say, well, who are favorites? That's what I look at. Is I look at what players say about coaches. So Rashard's a name I like. Obviously, Wade Phillips. I don't know. The thing about Wade Phillips is, is Wade Phillips a guy that is good with developing young talent? Or is he a guy that will need talent in order for his system to succeed? That's my biggest question mark with Wade. So that's something that I think is going to be answered. But I think what we're going to see is we're going to see an experienced staff because it's a rookie head coach. And to me, that's important. You're going to have experience on there. But I think the number one target for me is Bill Callahan, offensive line coach.
Yep.
He's the number one free agent in my mind.
I'll pay for his Amtrak.
Yeah, that's a guy that if it means paying a little bit more, you got to do it. That's a guy you got to get in here because you saw what he did in Washington with what he had. That was a really bad offensive line, especially to
– turned Eric Flowers into a legitimate guard.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say legitimate guard, but he made Eric Flowers workable. Like, you could work with Eric Flowers. Yeah. Like, he's done a lot of good things. And I talk about how, you know, what players say about him. Those Dallas Cowboys offensive linemen, Zach Martin, Tyron Smith. Zach Martin speaks very highly of him because when Zach Martin came in, Bill Callahan was his offensive line coach. And he credits a lot of his development to Bill Callahan. And when I say this, I'm not saying that, you know, Martin would have been a great guard if it wasn't for Callahan. I'm just saying these people that
the
are
best
elite
of the
players,
best are raving. Right.
Right. Are speaking very highly of him. And we've seen the work that he's done. So, and he also has head coaching experience. He's been a coach for a long time. Would definitely help a lot. So to me, that's my number one target is Bill Callahan.
Yep.
Get him in here. That would be great for the Giants. He has an eye for talent on the offensive line. So he could definitely help out in that area as well.
Sure.
How about you?
I'm in.
If you were to build your perfect Giants coaching staff right now, Judge is obviously the head coach. Who's your OC? Jay Gruden. Who's your defensive coordinator?
I haven't thought about it yet. Because I don't know who's going to be available.
Yeah.
You know, I bring up Jay Gruden. Jay Gruden would be a very, very acceptable choice for my offensive coordinator. I haven't given much thought to the defensive side of the ball. I still need to do more research, see who could be out there, see if there are any people out there that actually might have connections to Joe Judge, anyone that he considers a mentor. But I don't have anyone for a defensive coordinator just yet. Obviously, like, people are talking about Chris Richard. You know, I'm skeptical, but again, players rave about him. But yeah, I don't have anyone for defensive coordinator at this point.
There's another one that I think that people could gravitate to, and okay. I think that's Gerard Mayo. Now, he's really the exact opposite of what I really want. Yes. But again, people speak very highly of him. They say he's moving up the coaching ranks. Obviously, linked to Joe Judge, was on the staff. He would be a guy that I think you would hear his name a lot. But I do expect, like, I expect the Giants to really put an emphasis on player development with these assistant coaches, because the one thing that we saw with the previous coaching staff was we didn't. Now, maybe it's just that these players aren't good enough, and that's on the person that making the picks, and Dave Gettleman. But one of the things they pointed to, especially guys like Hal Hunter, was these young offensive linemen, these young defensive players, they did not develop enough that the Giants were like, and that's why. That was one of the downfalls of Pat Shurmur as well, is because his staff was not strong enough. So I do expect the Giants to really put an emphasis on building a strong staff, especially having a first-year head coach.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I agree. Yeah, Gerard Mayo sort of goes against that, but again, yeah. Whatever. All right, what else do we want to talk about in regards to Mr. Judge?
I think we've pretty much covered it all.
Yeah, right? I only realized like 75% of the way through the episode that we completely forgot to tweet out about questions. But that's fine. We can always take questions next week once we do another episode.
I'm pretty sure that a lot of the questions would have been about coordinators, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, exactly. And it's too early to tell. You know, the guy is too unestablished, not that that's necessarily a bad thing, but too unestablished at this point to even begin to predict who he could be bringing in. So I guess we'll record again once he actually brings in an offensive and defensive coordinator once he's announced. But again, and I tweeted this, it's fuck Dave Gettleman and John Mara until the Giants have, I'll say, at least consecutive playoff appearances.
For me, give me one playoff year and I'll be like, okay, I have some sort of faith.
Right.
But
fine.
I can't emphasize enough how important it is that they get this one right.
Yes.
It is. Like, you can fire Gettleman, but if you get a head coaching hire wrong, especially given the last two,
bad.
I don't know. There's already a lot of fans that have lost faith. And I'm not here to sell any fan on Joe Judge. Like, I totally get fans not wanting to believe in this regime. I get it. I'm with you guys. I'm not here to sell you that. It's just that my approach is wait and see, because I wanted the Giants to think outside the box. I didn't want them to just say it has to be a guy with coaching experience. It has to be a guy that's this or that.
Right.
I think they thought outside the box.
And they for really, that, I commend them. Absolutely.
Yeah, I do. I think Joe Judge is somebody that, while we didn't know much about, is definitely outside the box.
Yes.
Definitely outside the box.
Yep.
All right.
All right.
I think that's that.
Okay. So, again, let's wrap it up then. Joe Judge, Giants head coach. We'll talk to you guys once we have more insight into what he brings to the table once he's finally announced, once we know about the coordinators. In the meantime, you know what you can do. You can follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitch Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe. Rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. That's it for this week. We'll talk to you again soon.
Peace.